I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, providing you with a safe space for you independent thinkers out there. I am daily running the Underground Railroad from the two-party system, so welcome. We've got some great clips today. I don't know a lot about Wendy Williams. This is a daytime talk show host or nighttime. I think she's daytime talk show host. I don't really know a lot about her. Daytime talk shows are certainly not my entertainment choice, but Wendy Williams, boy, woman's got a little bit of courage. She's become a little bit of a hero of mine today. I've got a great clip from her today. We've got some kind of Orwellian stuff, particularly on the vaccine front, got some economic stuff, and also the heir apparent. I went back and found some clips from CPAC, particularly from who I believe should be carrying the mantle rather than Donald Trump. You may agree or disagree. I'll open the phones later for you to tell me what you think. But Kristi Noem, I got some snippets of her speech that she gave at CPAC, and I got to tell you, I've got some issues with some of Kristi Noem's policies, but overall, she knocked it out of the park at CPAC. So we'll play those in a little bit, too. I'll start off with my quote of the day, and then I'm going to tackle a very tough issue, much like the morning shows do. If you remember when Matt Lauer got accused of sexual harassment, I think it was Savannah Guthrie and one of the other nut jobs on the Today Show had to really come out and tackle that subject front and center. It has now been memorialized in the morning show on Apple TV. Well, the Mike Madison Show doesn't shrink from controversy either, and so we'll tackle a tough issue here first. After our quote of the day, which is from Plato, he said, "The penalty good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. The penalty good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men." It's always a little comforting when I run across a Plato clip because it means that the mess that we see ourselves in right now, it's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. Psychopaths, sociopaths take the reins of power. Most people don't really pay attention until it's too late. Anyway, that's from Plato. And with that quote in mind, I want to open the show today with an apology. You know, here at the Mike Madison Show, we want to face the tough, uncomfortable issues head on and offer apologies when they are due. And I want to apologize to all women for Andrew Cuomo and his misogynist behavior. Most of us normal men are sorry that you've been preyed upon by what appears to be a sexual predator, white male, in the state of New York. Most men are good, decent people. But there are those like Cuomo with an arrogance and a disrespect for women that we just cannot tolerate. We all find it shocking. And I just want to apologize to women for this guy. Isn't that what we do? He's just getting piled upon. It's absolutely amazing. Andrew Cuomo is down for the count, I believe. New accusers coming out every day. He's got number three right now. This is within the course of about a week, and I would imagine we are not done with that before he finally cries uncle. Isn't it interesting to watch Andrew Cuomo go from the hero to the goat? In just a matter of months, the guy was riding high, as arrogant as he's ever been. It turns out, I was watching some footage of him. He reminds me of some kind of a cast character from the Jersey Shore. I'm not a consumer of the Jersey Shore, but I know what the Jersey Shore is. Isn't this where the situation and some of these other Guidos from New Jersey acted like asses? The guys are full of themselves on the show. That's what Andrew Cuomo looks like. But he's being taken down. So anyway, to the women, I just want to apologize. As a white male, as a straight white male, I feel that we need to apologize for Andrew Cuomo's behavior. I can't believe it, but I have actually found something in common with John Brennan. If you know who John Brennan is, he was Obama's former CIA chief. He says, quote, "I'm increasingly embarrassed to be a white male these days." Now, I'm not in common with him because I'm embarrassed to be a white male, but I am also embarrassed that he is a white male. So I finally found some common ground with him. And then a couple of other white men from the left that are acting like entitled little children that I should apologize for. I ran across this story. This is really quite amazing when you really tee this up and understand. These stories really show how the left is so deceived. They are brought to this idea by the leadership in the left, the Democratic Party, the media, that the media is calling out the powerful, right? If they go after Donald Trump, or they go after a billionaire, or they go after these or other people, if they're participating in the Me Too movement, they're always saying, "Oh, we're fighting for you." They couch themselves as some of these loving liberals on the left, speaking truth to power. When you look behind the scenes at the Democratic Party, where Hillary Clinton cheats Bernie Sanders out of the nomination in 2016, Bill Clinton's trips to Lolita Island, where he's abusing young girls, allegedly. It is really shocking to see what is really going on, and the left just gobbles this stuff up. They're led by these people who are actually the perpetrators of all of these transgressions, whether it's sexual harassment or greed or corruption or criminality. Listen to the story. Earlier this year, tensions between ABC News anchors George Stephanopoulos and David Muir boiled over to the point that Stephanopoulos threatened to walk to a rival network, according to sources close to the matter. In an unusual intervention, Disney executive Bob Iger flew across the country to broker peace at ABC News. Iger smoothed things over and gave Stephanopoulos a valuable contract extension, diffusing the situation. Muir, who's only 47, George Stephanopoulos is 60, Muir also remains under a long-term contract. At issue was the title, quote-unquote, chief anchor, and a key network news responsibility leading special coverage of breaking news stories and special events. So while millions of Americans struggle financially in the wake of the hypochondriac reaction to COVID-19 that was actually created, led, and perpetrated by this media elite, the George Stephanopoulos, the David Mears, the Bob Iger at Disney, while millions of Americans struggle financially to just survive out there, you've got two prima donnas, two male divas at ABC fighting over a title at their network, one of them demanding to walk until they throw a bunch of more money at him. These two loving liberals who are on your side, you know, fighting against the powerful and the wealthy, and this is how they couch themselves. They're actually whining and in some kind of a slap fight about titles and bigger salaries. And so I guess another apology is due. Two more white males, I guess, that I'm certainly ashamed to be associated with them in any way. It's just absolutely amazing what we're seeing coming out of the left right now. They are continuing to implode. I thought, really, you know, it was interesting to watch during the Trump presidency. While I'm not any Trump fan, it was interesting to watch many of the people on the left implode during a lot of the boomerangs that we witnessed over the last 4 years. But apparently it wasn't just Trump. These people are just so out of control, so full of themselves, so arrogant, and so full of flaws that they are still imploding. So pretty amazing stuff. There was one great headline on the Babylon Bee, that national treasure. Andrew Cuomo assures the public he always kept his mask on while sexually harassing women. Oh, I love the Babylon Bee. Well, I got to tell you, it's probably not good for my zen, for my karma, to laugh and really enjoy the downfall of another human being. We're all fallible people, and we shouldn't revel in the suffering of others. I might have to make an exception to watch Andrew Cuomo fall. It's pretty sweet. I'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller, and Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. Want to get a little bit of economics up in here. It's just absolutely amazing. I saw the headline the other day that now I believe, I think it was at 26%, now maybe it's 27% of all income to the American people comes from the government right now. And I would imagine that that is going to even increase with the $1.9 trillion insanity that the Congress is considering right now for COVID relief. $400 in juiced up unemployment benefits. While, you know, small employers, I think I talked about this story the other day, the small employers are desperate to find people to work. No, nobody wants to get off the couch. They're making more money sitting at home, or the same money to sit at home, or slightly less to sit at home, all of which is a recipe for people sitting at home. Got almost 20 million people still on either unemployment or pandemic emergency pay right now. So my point being that the government is just completely in charge of this economy. Everybody's scared of socialism coming. It's here. It is here now. And every group seems to want a little piece of it. They want their piece. They'll tell you that we don't want socialism in this country. But you listen to this story. Home builders, if anybody's been paying attention, if you're a contractor out there or a home builder out there, you know lumber prices have been going through the roof. Apparently, they're at all-time highs right now. But I found this pretty amazing. This is a press release from the Associated General Contractors of America. They say, price increases, some to record-setting levels, and long delivery delays are causing hardships for construction firms that are also experiencing challenges in completing projects with crews limited by illness or new work site procedures resulting from the pandemic. No, not resulting from the pandemic, resulting from the government's reaction to the pandemic. Let's always clarify that. COVID-19 has caused none of these policies. Politicians, busybodies, health authorities are the ones that have caused these policies, just to be clear. They go on to say the extreme price increases, as reflected in today's product producer price index report and other sources, are harming contractors on existing projects and making it difficult to bid new work at profitable level. This is from Ken Simonson, the chief economist for this Associated General Contractors of America. The AGC has joined the National Association of Home Builders in urging intervention from President Biden. AGC believes the White House can play a constructive role in mitigating the growing threat to multifamily housing and other construction sectors by urging domestic lumber producers to ramp up production to ease growing shortages and making it a priority to work with Canada on a new softwood lumber agreement. We also urge the administration to look for ways to facilitate shortening delivery times of lumber to end users. And they go into some of the ridiculous regulations we have on cross-border stuff that actually is probably a good point. We should get rid of a ton of these different kinds of regulations. We've been in a bit of a tariff war with Canada that's certainly not helping anything. In this statement, they also said this: lumber prices spikes are not only sidelining buyers during a period of high demand, they are causing many sales to fall through and forcing builders to put projects on hold at a time when home inventories are already at a record low. Now look, I am a big fan of contractors who go out and work every day and builders that build homes. I love private businesses that are out doing that. It's the idea of asking the government to come in and intervene every time your industry is hit. And the funny thing to me, or not funny ha-ha, but funny, wildly ironic, is that the reason that home builders are doing so well right now, there's so many projects going on, is because our government and the Federal Reserve have artificially lowered interest rates and flooded the economy with money. Funny money. And this has artificially spiked demand, so they have been benefiting from these government policies and the endless Fed printing. But now when the inflation is also hitting, that's hitting all of us. Have you gotten a gallon of gas recently? Have you been to the grocery store recently? Inflation is starting to show its ugly head here after the trillions and trillions of excess money printing that's been done over the last 12 years. Prices are going through the roof, including home prices. So these builders and contractors, everybody has been benefiting from this inflation in their industry. But now some of it is hurting their bottom line, and they want to call the government into action about this. To me, it kind of feels like you really shouldn't have it both ways. You can't really take all of the benefits of the government, along with the Federal Reserve and Treasury forcing interest rates lower to juice your industry, and then when that inflation rears its head on your cost of goods, it starts to harm your business. You can't cry foul then. You've been, and again, I'm not an enemy of home builders or contractors. Love y'all. But it's this idea of going hat in hand to the government and asking them to intervene. I guess what they want Joe Biden to do is go in and do some kind of emergency production orders, kind of like what Donald Trump did with the ventilators. I forget what it's called, emergency manufacturing orders or something along those lines. And see, what will happen is if the home builders get their way, and it's a big industry, a lot of voters in those industries, so the Biden administration certainly might. Again, we've become a completely centralized, central planned economy. I don't like the lumber prices. I don't like, if you look at commodities right now, they're talking about commodities entering a super cycle. Now, if you're investing in commodities, that could be a good thing for you. But what commodities are basically the raw materials of things that all of us use every single day. It's food, it's grains, it's metals, it's lumber, it's gas. It's all of these things. And a super cycle means these things are going to get wildly more expensive. And all of us out here, are going to suffer the consequences of this coming tsunami of inflation, and it could turn into some level of hyperinflation. I would imagine, should this play out the way it seems like it should play out, again, they're trying to keep this like a beach ball under the water. They're trying to hold interest rates down, hold all these things down, but this inflation that's coming could make the 1970s look like a picnic. But again, you know, the stock market had a big day yesterday. Dow surges, S&P 500 notches best gain in 9 months as economic outlook brightens. Happy days are here again. To the 700,000 people who lost their jobs last week, you might not be seeing it, but who cares? The stock market's doing great. Then Joe Biden is being asked to intervene in yet another industry. Airlines spend 95% of their cash on stock buybacks, and then travel takes a slump. Bailouts. They get bailouts. I think they're on their third round right now. If this $1.9 trillion bill goes through, I think they get another $15 billion. Their total has got to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 to $70 billion in taxpayer money that the airlines have gotten. And as I've talked about for the last year, and I called it like last March, when they started really closing things down, I said they're going to have to bail everybody out. Restaurants are getting money in this bill. Schools are getting money in this bill. Everybody is getting a bailout. We are a completely centrally planned economy at this point, except for us little people out here who might want to go out and start a business. So you can go out there and risk your capital and go out of business and go bankrupt. There's not going to be any help for you out there. But as far as the big corporate world or the big large groups, I would imagine the Home Builders Association and the General Contractors Association have got plenty of lobbyists up on Washington, D.C. These kinds of people, even though they've been benefiting wildly in the past 6-8 months. We've seen what's happened to real estate prices and home sales and all of this. The problem is this is all artificial. The housing boom right now is a consequence of these artificially low interest rates. But ultimately, it leads to inflation that all of us bear. So, again, I love the contractors, love the home builders. I know some of them. Good for you that you've been doing well, but yeah, I got to tell you, whining and asking Joe Biden to intercede in some of these things that are really consequences of the policies that you've actually enjoyed and encouraged for the past 12 years, I don't have a ton of sympathy for you on that stuff. Anyway, again, if you're on the lookout for socialism, you look to a centrally planned government. It's communism, it's socialism, it's everything else. Everybody goes hat in hand straight to the federal government when business conditions are not ideal for them, and which just means that they never prepare for bad times. I want to get back in just a second. I've got to get to some of these clips, and I just love it. Wendy Williams, this daytime talk show host. I have no idea really what I think she does one of these cheesy talk shows. I don't know. Was she talking about relationships or I don't even know. I don't really care. But boy, she's my hero for the day today. I want you to stick around and listen to her talk to Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz, the sellout Dr. Oz. At one time, I was a fan of that guy, too. He has become just a big pharma salesperson himself. And I'm going to do a little bit of healing, too. I'm on a new rallying cry to bring the races together here on the show. I talked yesterday about the fact that looking at the Western world's reaction to coronavirus, be it Australia or Germany or the UK or the US, largely run by white people, and you see how crazy we've gone? It should dissuade anybody of the idea that of white supremacy, that whites are inherently better than anybody, because we apparently are some of the stupidest people on the planet. So we're going to get back to that stuff when we come back. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. This is a healing show. Let's say this is the Underground Railroad of bringing people out of the two-party system and all the hatred that it engenders. I ran across a story today. You know, my point to people is, look, the Democratic Party is insane. I'm talking to a largely conservative audience. I would imagine I get a lot of head nods to that. You know, I mean, but neither one of these parties is serving the people. And we've got so much in common. We're all paying more for gas today. We're all paying more for houses today. We're all going to suffer the inflation. We're all subject to a corrupt government. We've all been locked down. And to just judge people because they voted a certain way and disassociate from them is just absolutely nuts. I ran across a post this morning about a guy named Daryl Davis, who I'm not really familiar with. I think I may have heard this story a little bit before, but listen to this. Daryl Davis was once an aspiring and successful musician. He had played with Chuck Berry, B.B. King, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Muddy Waters. However, his true claim to fame, the legacy he has forged, came in a very different way. This is a black guy, black musician, Daryl Davis. He went out of his way to befriend KKK Grand Wizard Roger Kelly. He spent years building trust between them and laying the foundation of what became a friendship. They broke bread at each other's tables. They welcomed each other into their homes. Davis even went as far as attending Klan rallies as a guest of Kelly. Most importantly, Davis cultivated an atmosphere of listening. He didn't hate Kelly because Kelly hated him. Instead, he listened to Roger Kelly, and eventually Kelly started listening to him. This led to the two realizing they had far more in common than not. In the end, Kelly denounced his ties to the KKK, so much so he handed his hood and robe to Daryl Davis. In total, Davis has seen over 200 Klan members walk away from the KKK and hand over their robes and hoods to Daryl. You can change people's minds. If you don't scream at them, if you don't reciprocate the hatred, if you talk to people, I mean, you can change people's minds. That's pretty impressive there. I joke a little bit about this white, because the idea that we have a big white supremacy problem in this country is just absolutely insane. If you treat somebody well, someone will treat you well back. All of us just want to get along, ultimately. But we're told that white supremacy is as big. I've lived 53 years. I've never met a white supremacist. I've met racists before. White racists, black racists. I've met people who don't like other races. Not a whole lot of them, but I've met some. But the idea of white supremacy, but I'm trying to break that down because I'm watching white people and white-run governments around the world just absolutely lose their ever-loving minds. So obviously, being white does not make you inherently smarter, more clever, or better governments than any other race. And then I look out and I see who's rushing to get the experimental vaccines. Mostly white people. I am with my black brothers and sisters on this particular issue, so I've got a couple of clips on this leading into my Wendy Williams clip.
The vaccination site at the Reggie Lewis Center is expanding, but its mission will not change. The site will now be a mass vaccination site.
But many of the appointments will be reserved for people of color. As WBZ's Paul Burton shows us, access to the vaccine isn't the only hurdle, though, for these communities.
Congratulations.
Another mass vaccination site opens this weekend. This one at the Reggie Lewis Center in Roxbury. It's all a part of the state's comprehensive equity initiative.
To enable the vaccination to be distributed to all of our communities, especially those who have been most disproportionately affected by COVID.
Governor Charlie Baker said the state is second in the nation with respect to the percent of black residents who have been vaccinated. One of the biggest challenges has been getting people to trust the vaccine.
I'm providing information so that they can make informed, empowered decisions.
Dr. Shahzad Slate.
That's what I'm doing too. Constantly on the show, I am giving you information so that you can make informed, empowered decisions. I'm just giving you the other side of the information that the mainstream media doesn't want you to have.
The wife of New England Patriot Matthew Slater is senior vice president of a pharmaceutical and biological consulting company called LMK Clinical Research Consulting. Speaking alongside Moderna executives and doctors, she's been focusing her efforts on educating schools and community organizations of color about the vaccine, including the Epiphany School in Dorchester.
And I just gave...
I mean, what better source to come out and educate young minority kids and schools about a vaccine than somebody who works for a pharmaceutical consulting company? I mean, I'm sure you're getting the straight scoop there, right?
All that medical jargon, translated it into English, into layman's terms, so that they can understand it for themselves, and they would be able to make empowered decisions for themselves, the best decisions for them and their family.
Today is
she is literally a pharmaceutical salesperson, essentially, as a consultant to Big Pharma. She's a black woman, I would assume. This is a whole story about trying to overcome the hesitancy in the black community getting this vaccine, so they find a black woman who's a pharmaceutical company consultant, and they go, hey, you're black. Go out there and sell these vaccines.
Just the soft launch. Soon they'll be vaccinating 2,500 people a day. They're working with organizations within the community to make sure those who live in this area have access. Helping folks in the community feel welcome and well-informed.
Get that shot. That's the message to the black community. So I am with my black brothers and sisters on your skepticism on the shot. You should have it. I wish you had the same skepticism of the masks and of your government in general. But it is interesting to watch you, the black community's reluctance to get this vaccine. And it is stunning to me. I look at the overall the white community, and certainly it's not inclusive. Really, none of these groups are inclusive. There are plenty of black people who rushed out to get the vaccine, plenty of white people who were skeptical of it. But by and large, the black community seems to be especially resistant to that. I'm very admirable to that. They've learned the lessons of history. And somebody who has also learned those lessons of history is Wendy Williams. This is morning talk show host Wendy Williams, who had Dr. Oz come on. And Dr. Oz, who at one point I kind of felt was a bit of a natural health guy. He talks about nutrition and these kinds of things. But over the years, I've just watched him morph into get your flu shot. Well, he might talk about vitamin D in one episode, but ultimately, get your flu shot. He's become, I would imagine, if we were to look at the finances of Dr. Oz, he's receiving some funding from Big Pharma. So I certainly don't consider him a natural health ally. But Wendy Williams had him on her show, and she might have been on his show at the same time. And she did not mince words. My new hero, Wendy Williams.
So are you planning on getting your vaccine?
No.
No.
No. I don't trust it. I've never gotten the flu shot either, though, and you and I have talked about that, and several of the doctors on my team talked to me about, Wendy, we'll get the flu shot. I've never had the flu. I'm not getting a flu shot. I very rarely get a cold. I never have headaches. I don't take an aspirin because I feel my heart murmur or something like that. I'm not getting... No, I don't trust it. There, I said it.
Boom!
Yeah.
So let me go back to the vaccines for a second, because what you say and believe is so important to a lot of people. I mean, millions and millions of Americans are going to say, Wendy Williams didn't get a vaccine, so I don't want to get a vaccine. So let me just ask you, if there's anything that could happen that would make you feel comfortable, 10 million people get vaccinated without a problem.
What do, Dr. Oz sounds like a used car salesman. What do I have to do to get you into a shot today?
Your neighbor gets vaccinated, a sibling, your son gets vaccinated, someone that's dear to you gets vaccinated and does well, that might make you think, you know, just to get past the hassle of having to lie on my back, recovering from COVID-19 or maybe not recovering, is not worth the risk, that I might actually consider this vaccine.
I'm not getting the vaccine. Listen, 10 million people and more have the flu vaccine, and how many people per year catch the flu? You know, I'm not getting the vaccine, doctor. Oz, I'm not. I don't trust it.
And is there something in particular you don't trust about it? The fact that it was made quickly, the fact that we don't have enough follow-up? What specifically is bothering you about it?
Yes and yes. I mean, yeah, you didn't test it. I don't know. It seems like a rational idea to think something, a brand new technology that's never been injected in human beings before, being jammed into my arm, my loved one's arms, my children's arms, that's never been tested on human beings before just a few months ago. Yeah, that's kind of a concern. Should be a concern. To most people, apparently it's not. But yeah, yes and yes, Dr. Oz.
Doctors are really smart people, but doctors don't know everything. And that's been proven as well. I'm not getting the vaccine. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't get the vaccine, everybody watching. I'm just saying I'm not getting the vaccine.
You know, I can't imagine the kind of pressure she's under. And I don't know. I don't watch the Wendy Williams show. If they're going to force her to go out and retract, this is almost a dangerous thing for her career to just come out and do this. You understand, if you were on television in any way, shape, or form on any of the major networks, and probably even some of the smaller networks, your employer derives a tremendous amount of their income from the pharmaceutical companies. So I'm hoping I don't see a retraction or a clarification or some reversal of these things because her career is threatened. Because make no mistake, I watched this morning on NBC, they have some kind of new website, planyourshot.com. They put up a QR code on the television screen so that you could scan this thing with your phone and arrange your vaccination. They're vaccine infomercials in the commercial on the morning shows now. Every major network, they're vaccine infomercials. I don't know if the pharmaceutical companies are actually paying for the time or not, or they're just saying, hey, we sure spend a lot of money with your network. We'd hate to see something happen to that. But that's just a beautiful clip of Wendy Williams just saying no. She's not even saying, well, I'll wait and see and maybe down the line. She just says no. My new hero, Wendy Williams. I got a couple more clips here, too. You know, I've been continually stunned. I talked yesterday about the fact I watched a boxing match where two guys are punching each other in the head. Either one of them could die in the ring, but they couldn't have any fans in the stands. And, you know, the announcers were all wearing masks and face shields and basketball the same. Our big, burly athletes have been put into these little corrals to fear this one little germ. Even though they participate in sports that could catastrophically affect their health every single day. It's just bizarre world to me. But the weakness of the American people and the terrorizing we're doing of our children. I've got a couple of clips to show you. Microsoft, strangely enough, isn't it? Microsoft propagandizing our children in one of the creepier things I've ever heard. And what's interesting is we're laying all this adult fear on our kids, whether it's climate change or coronavirus. We're terrorizing our children. I think it's child abuse to make our children scared to go outside, scared to be around their friends, scared that the earth is going to end in 12 years. So we're dumping a bunch of adult projected fear on these children from these hypochondriacs. At the same time, I've got a clip that shows we're actually infantilizing the adults in this country. It's quite something to see. Two clips to prove my point when I come back. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
You know, I'm seeing something going on. I don't know if anybody else is noticing this, but it feels like we are terrorizing our children. We're trying to turn them into adults way before the time they can handle any of these kinds of issues, whether it's climate change, we freak them out. Coronavirus, we fear-monger to them. We're trying to let them decide what their sex is going to be at 3 or 4 years old. I mean, we talk about transgenderism in elementary school. Thrusting all of these grown-up issues onto children, to me, is child abuse. At the same time, we're infantilizing the grown-ups in this country, treating them like helpless children. It's a very bizarre thing. I guess we all meet in the middle somewhere as some kind of a helpless, mentally defective citizen. I don't know what it is, but listen to this. This is Microsoft is going to roll out a plan. They're going to let the kids go back to school safe if they just do what they're told.
There's never been anything like this virus in our lifetime. Often, it's hard to see the effects it's having on our children. Has this conversation taken place in your home?
Mom, I'm scared about going back to school.
Because the grown-ups have been terrorizing me and telling us we're all gonna die.
I don't want to get sick, and I don't want to get you and Dad sick.
And they've told me that if I go somewhere that I carry the disease and I'll kill Grandma.
Our scientists tell us there are three things we must do to stay safe. Wear masks, make sure we social distance, and wash our hands. And now, your school, with the help of Microsoft Corporation, has created another.
Doesn't this sound like one of these creepy things from one of these futuristic movies, where everybody's under total control by the tech overlords? And now Microsoft will allow you to go back to school.
Introducing Daily Pass.
Daily
your
Pass.
Exclusive ticket for safely going back to school.
And they couch it. This is basically like an amusement card pass, amusement park pass, right? Hey, I got my Daily Pass. If I do everything just right, I'll get my pass. And I think there may be even some prizes involved.
Each week, you can schedule your free on-campus COVID test. The results are displayed in your Daily Pass. And if you choose to take your test off campus, you can post the results in your Daily Pass. And the moment vaccinations are available, you'll simply be able to schedule yours through your Daily Pass.
Wow!
But the real magic is your daily health check. Just answer a few simple health questions every day, and like magic, your entrance ticket appears.
Welcome back!
Welcome to school!
So, how did it go?
Dad, I have to admit, I was scared at first. But then I felt so safe. It was so good to be back. Thanks for keeping me safe. I love you so much.
Oh! I don't know if that hits anybody else the way it does me. Incredibly creepy. Just upload your daily health check. Answer your daily health questionnaires. You can schedule everything. If you get a test off campus, you can load it into your daily pass. And without this, children, you're risking your life. Now, when it comes to Microsoft, of course, run by Bill Gates, no medical training whatsoever, but he is supposedly our health overlord here in the country. They ran this clip, What Happens to the World If Bill Gates Isn't Around? And this, again, as I say, we're loading all of these adult issues on our children, terrorizing them with this or confusing them with sexuality stuff. I mean, just laying all this adult stuff on our kids. And then this is something done that I guess is for grown-ups. And it's done with a cartoon.
What if Bill Gates disappeared?
No problem. I will buy many Gates and solve the problem.
Oh, some. Firstly, Bill Gates is the third richest person. If Bill Gates disappeared, a highly respected billionaire will be missed by many.
Not me. Hmm.
Secondly, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is the largest private charitable foundation worldwide. If Bill Gates disappeared, philanthropy will take a big hit.
Oh.
Hmm.
Thirdly, Bill Gates co-founded the Giving Pledge. Herein, billionaires pledge at least half of their wealth to philanthropy. If Bill Gates disappeared, this wonderful initiative may die down. Fourthly, Bill Gates is a leader in the climate change fight. If Bill Gates disappeared, climate conservation efforts may take a hit. Fifthly, Bill Gates has funded many startups working in clean energy. If Bill Gates disappeared, fossil fuels might make a comeback.
Oh dear, fossil fuels might make a comeback. You mean the substances that have basically propelled billions of people out of poverty, gotten them food when they needed it, connected people? We'd hate to have fossil fuels come back.
Lastly, if Bill Gates disappeared, Warren Buffett, the famous American investor, will dearly miss his best friend.
Yeah, I always want to remember that. You're kindly, the little old man, that genteel Warren Buffett, just looks like an aw shucks guy. He's a shark. He's a globalist. He's a sewer rat, constantly exploiting the system for his own gain. He may have some good investing ideas, but this idea that he is just this aw shucks Dairy Queen, Coca-Cola billionaire is absolutely absurd. But anyway, so there's your, what would happen if we didn't have Bill Gates? We should all be so thankful we have Bill Gates. And the kids going to school can thank Microsoft and Bill Gates for letting them get back to school without having fearing for their lives. And all they have to do is constantly register all of their health information into an app so they get their daily pass. This is the stuff of science fiction nightmares, as far as I'm concerned. And it is all to infantilize everybody, but at the same time terrorize our children with grown-up issues. It's a weird way to function, and I can't see it changing unless we start to shield ourselves from this. Don't get your child on the daily pass. Watch out for that at your school.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. I talked yesterday a little bit about the fact that Trump came out during CPAC, made his return, to wild applause and polling showing that a lot of Republicans want to see him run again in 2024. He'll be 78 years old. And I got to say, I'm a tad bit mystified by that. There's a lot has been made over the last 4 years of the resistance that Donald Trump faced, and a lot of it was unfair. It was ridiculous, the reaction of the media and the Democratic Party, the labels that were put on him for no reason. But those things aren't going to go away, so you would end up with 4 more years of a massively polarized country, and Trump is just a lightning rod for criticism. Now, you may like the America First agenda. Certainly are parts of that that I voted for in 2016. And that can certainly stay intact, but is Trump the right guy to lead the party and to lead into a 2024? Because he certainly made indications the other day at his speech that he was going to be the guy to run again. My biggest problem with Donald Trump for the last 4 years, well, I had several. But the biggest one was his style. I just thought he shot himself in it. I think a lot of the things that hurt Donald Trump over 4 years were self-inflicted. Even somebody from Breitbart wrote the other day that it may be a blessing that Twitter cut him off. It made his speech more anticipated. He didn't have, you know, the past month to constantly chime in about everything that was going on in the Biden administration. It made him appear more presidential. This is the words of Breitbart. I almost hate that term, but there is something to that, that I think Trump's Twitter feed alone probably cost him 10% on his approval rating because he couldn't let anything pass by. Now, look at the alternatives. I've talked a lot here about Kristi Noem, but I ran across some clips of Kristi Noem at CPAC when she gave her speech, and I got to tell you, it was refreshing. Now, I will tell you right now, here's the thing about me. It's very different than most people. I voted for Donald Trump. I didn't fall in love with him because I don't trust politicians, and as soon as he got into office, he was a politician. Everybody's, oh, he's not a politician. He's an outsider. No, he was a politician. He did what politicians do. They take credit for everything. They blame everybody else for anything that goes wrong. Kristi Noem is the same way. I'm very impressed by the freedom that she gave her people in the state of South Dakota, but she's also trying to stop the popular vote in the state. They had a marijuana vote that she's against, and she's trying to do what Mary Hawkins Butler is trying to do in Mississippi or Delbert Hoseman. Just these single people override the voters. So I'm not in love with Kristi Noem, although she is attractive, I will say. If I was going to fall in love with a politician, they'd look something like Kristi Noem. But as far as freedom, for me, I'm a radical freedom lover, much more than the vast majority of people. A lot of people say they like freedom. I really like it. I'm pretty serious about it. And this is Kristi Noem. And I just think, you know, when you look at Trump heading into 2024 as a lightning rod with all of the baggage that he will carry into any further runs, whether you love him or hate him, I guess this really only applies if you love him. You have to admit, he is a lightning rod of controversy that is not particularly effective in getting stuff done. This is, on the other hand, is Kristi Noem. And you want to talk about some substance and a style that would be much more difficult to attack, not to mention the fact that she's a woman. But I thought she made some pretty good points, and she backs them up with action. I don't like political speeches, but she talks a little bit about South Dakota and how she's handled the last 12 months. And if anybody has any sway, email me. I'll send you these clips. You can pass them on to Tate Reeves.
Now, most governors shut down their states. What followed was record unemployment, businesses closed, most schools were shuttered, and communities suffered. And the U.S. economy came to an immediate halt. Now, let me be clear. COVID didn't crush the economy.
Amen.
Government crushed the economy.
Amen.
And then
there's a lot in here that's edited out. Big, huge applause and standing ovation stuff. I got it. Political speeches applauding after every 2 minutes or every. When I was watching Trump's speech, and it's like every two lines, people had to applaud. Just tell us. I don't like worshiping politicians at all. But anyway, she got a lot of applause here that is edited out.
Just as quickly, government turned around and held itself out as the savior. And frankly, the Treasury Department can't print money fast enough to keep up with Congress's wish list. But not everyone has followed this path. For those of you who don't know, South Dakota is the only state in America that never ordered a single business or church to close. We never instituted a shelter-in-place order. We never mandated that people wear masks. We never even defined what an essential business is, because I don't believe that governors have the authority to tell you that your business isn't essential.
Amen.
South Dakota schools are no different than schools everywhere else in America, but we approach the pandemic differently. From the earliest days of the pandemic, our priority was the students, their well-being, and their education. When it was time to go back to school in the fall, we put our kids in the classroom. Teachers, administrators, parents, and the students themselves were of one mind to make things work for our children. And the best way to do that was in the classroom. Now, in South Dakota, I provided all of the information that we had to our people, and then I trusted them.
Oh, my God. Think of the concept there. Holy cow. She provided information to adults in her state and let them make decisions for themselves and for their children. That's unheard of.
To make the best decisions for themselves, for their families, and in turn, their communities. We never focused on the case numbers. Instead, we kept our eye on hospital capacity. Now, Dr. Fauci, told me that on my worst day, I'd have 10,000 patients in the hospital. On our worst day, we had a little over 600.
This is the guy that's been leading the charge, Anthony Fauci. He warned her, if you don't do what we say, you're going to have 10,000 people in the hospital when it really peaks on you. She had 600. And yet Anthony Fauci is still constantly across all mainstream media with how he has a shred of credibility left is completely beyond me. But this is Kristi Noem. I'm just kind of juxtaposing this. If you wanted to, now look, I've said it before, Washington, D.C.'s lost. I wouldn't have any hope. I'm not going to go out and volunteer for Kristi Noem and think that she's going to come in and save the country. Washington, D.C.'s lost. I don't know where she stands on the wars. But I got to tell you, after what I've seen over the last 12 months, the idea that somebody would just educate people and then let them make up their own minds about something that has been so horribly implemented, these draconian measures for the last 12 months around coronavirus, the idea that somebody would just let people live their lives as they see fit and not nanny state us to death is wildly attractive. Again, she's not going to save the world, but I got to tell you, when I put this up against the idea of a Trump 2024, there's simply no comparison in style or in substance. This woman has actually done these things very recently. I tell you, I'll take a quick break. I've still got two more clips from her where she talks about what she did in South Dakota. It's just stunning. What's more stunning to me, really, is that this is rare. Now, Ron DeSantis has come close in Florida. I don't fault Ron DeSantis for implementing some controls up front, even though I still, as a libertarian, never want the government making decisions for me. Do exactly what Kristi Noem just said. Educate me and let me make my own choices. Ron DeSantis did do some lockdowns, some stay-at-home, some mask orders at the beginning of this. But I'll give anybody a pass who overreacted in, let's say, the first 2 months. When we didn't really know what we were dealing with. And these nut job people like Fauci or people overseas were predicting tens of millions of deaths. And if you don't know what you're dealing with, I'll give you a little bit of room, a little bit of wiggle room to make some mistakes. It is the people that are still making mistakes. I believe we still have a mask mandate in something like 75 counties in Mississippi right now. Tate Reeves doesn't trust you to make a decision on a mask. He must force you. It is just amazing to me that in the United States of America, this woman, this governor is the outlier. Out of 50 states, she's the only one who just educated her citizens and then allowed them to do what they wanted to. In the United States, one out of 50. More from Kristi Noem when we come back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
We'll be right back.
right, we are taking a look here at listening to some of what Kristi Noem said at CPAC, the Panderfest. I don't fall in love with politicians. I don't know if she's going to save the country. But if you were looking for a candidate in 2024, the contrast between her and Donald Trump is stark to me. This woman is well-spoken, and she has walked the walk for the past 12 months. Now, I'm scared to look up anything on her about her stance on Iran or wars or any of these things. She may be very disappointing. And if Kristi Noem ever became president, I was on the radio, what you would hear is me praise her for her freedom ideas for the states, and you're going to hear her talk a little bit about states' rights, which is, I think, a huge thing at this point in our history, for sure. It always has been, but especially now. But I would turn on her in a heartbeat because I don't fall in love with politicians. This is Kristi Noem, more of her at CPAC, where she talked about her experience and what she did in South Dakota. She's been the governor of South Dakota during the pandemic, and she is one out of 50 that gave her citizens, treated her citizens like they were adults with capable minds. One out of 50 governors.
I don't know if you agree with me, but Dr. Fauci is wrong a lot. Even in a pandemic, public health policy needs to take into account people's economic and social well-being.
What?
Daily needs still need to be met. People need to keep a roof over their heads. They need to feed their families. And they still need purpose. They need their dignity. Now, my administration resisted the call for virus control at the expense of everything else. We looked at the science, the data, and the facts, and then we took a balanced approach. Truthfully, I never thought that the decisions that I was making were going to be unique. I thought that there would be more who would follow basic conservative principles, but I guess I was wrong. Ask yourself this question. How far will people go to enforce mask mandates? Once you start lockdowns, how long can you sustain them? In South Dakota, we had some cases in March and April, but the virus didn't really hit the Midwest until late fall. Should we have kept people in their homes from March onward? Of course not. You know, it's important to ask these questions. We have to show people how arbitrary these restrictions are and the coercion, the force, and the anti-liberty steps that governments take to enforce them. Often, the enforcement isn't based on facts. Justifying these mitigation efforts has been anything but scientific. Now, many in the media, they criticized South Dakota's approach. They labeled me as ill-informed, that I was reckless, and even a denier. Some even claimed that South Dakota was as bad as it gets anywhere in the world when it comes to COVID-19. That is a lie.
Yeah, and they had better results than most other states, as well as most countries, and particularly the ones that did the more draconian lockdowns. I've got one more clip of her here. I tell you what, I'll take a call real quick. Hey, caller, are you on the line?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I second your opinion on Kristi Noem. She's a total babe factor.
She is.
I did Google her military votes in the past, or her votes on foreign intervention in the past, and it seems to be mixed. So there's some light at the end of the tunnel with this, or some hope.
Well, that's good. That's good, because I'm going to go after somebody else who is trying to inherit the Trump mantle. I'm going to warn everybody about. But I'm glad she's at least mixed. Maybe she could be reasoned with.
She voted yes to ban armed forces in Libya without congressional approval, but she voted no on removing armed forces from Afghanistan in 2011. And then she signed the Iran Threat Reduction Act, which involves a boycott and sanctions against Iran for terrorism and nuclear weapons.
Ugh.
She also voted yay to aid the Syrian opposition with training and equipment. So that seems I get lost in that detail. But so I think overall she's mixed. But
yeah,
I think from Minnesota, there was another Michelle Bachmann. So she's also not pretty easy on the eyes too. So if she runs, I won't be upset either.
That's right. You know, I mean, we are the United States. You would think at some point we could put a babe in the office. I mean, and if we've certainly got some with some brains, and this one is actually a freedom lover. So if you've got to start with one, this is the one, seems to be the one to start with.
Exactly. And last thing, so you were playing in one of the last segments a song that Dana Lash usually plays. So I was like, oh my gosh, my day is already looking for the worst. But I'm glad it was just you, and you're still on the air. So that's good.
Appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So she's mixed on foreign policy, as I say. I think Kristi, the thing I'm really trying to get across more in this right now is I think Kristi Noem is incredibly electable. I don't know Donald Trump is. And even if Donald Trump does get reelected, I'm just not sure what people are thinking is going to be different in the next 4 years than is from now, the past 4 years. She seems to be very electable, and she's, again, she's walked the walk. I've got one more clip from her. Again, this is Kristi Noem at CPAC.
The media did all of this while simultaneously praising governors who issued lockdowns, who mandated masks and shut down businesses, applauding them as having taken the right steps to mitigate the spread of the virus. At one point, I appeared on George Stephanopoulos' Sunday show. I don't know if you watched that. No, you don't? Shocker. He had just wrapped up a segment with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, where he asked Cuomo to give me some advice on how to deal with COVID. Now seems like a really good time to remind everyone of what Governor Cuomo was doing in New York. On March 25th, Cuomo ordered COVID patients into nursing homes, and he prohibited the staff from testing people before admitting them. 9 days later, he pushed legislation prohibiting nursing home lawsuits over COVID deaths. 6 days after that, he prohibited nursing homes from sending COVID patients to the nearby naval hospital ship or the field hospital, both of which were essentially empty. Now, 8 days after that, the first deaths started to show up. And on January 28th of this year, the New York Attorney General announced that Cuomo and his administration significantly undercounted the number of COVID-related deaths in nursing homes by as much as 50%. To make matters worse, they tried to cover it up. Now that is the media's COVID hero. And by the way, you know, he also earned an Emmy, and he wrote a book on his COVID response. So who really needed the advice?
So, I mean, it really does just highlight the bizarro world we live in. And this goes across the board. I'm sure Thomas Dobbs must look, our health authority here in Mississippi, he must look at South Dakota as just being in denial and risking all of their citizens. I mean, I would love to have the conversation with Thomas. What do you think about South Dakota that did basically nothing but just inform their people? He must be horrified. Yet they've had better results than just about everybody. And if they haven't had better results, they've had almost exactly the same results. With, again, without disrupting their children's school, without closing down churches, without closing down businesses. And yet the media will just refuse to look at Sweden and South Dakota and Florida. They will refuse to look at these things, as will health authorities like Thomas Dobbs, Anthony Fauci, the rest of these nut jobs out there. I don't know. They're just getting paid by vaccine manufacturers, or they're just all stupid. Obviously, there's an agenda here, because now I'm hearing, you know, and we're going to hear about the strains, the mutants are coming after us. I mean, you know, at some point, we need to live in a state that approaches this like Kristi Noem approached this in North Dakota. And when the evidence is in, after 12 months of dealing with this pandemic, when other governors can just not see, well, how Tate Reeves cannot see that a mask mandate does not give you any better results than a non-mask mandate. And for anybody out there who wants to wear a mask, God love you, wear your mask. But they've not been shown in any state or any country across the planet to have made any significant difference, or any difference at all, except maybe made things worse. And you would think that Kristi Noem would have inspired people instead of suffering 12 months of essentially ridicule from the mainstream media and health authorities. Anyway, that's Kristi Noem. I would just say, if you want to throw in behind somebody, and again, look, Washington, D.C. is lost. But it sure would be nice to have somebody that at least has some thoughts about freedom and treating the American citizen like an adult and not like a mentally challenged child that needs to be scolded, needs to be trained to do the right things. The choice seems very, very clear. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Spent the last half hour talking about Kristi Noem. She said some good things at CPAC. She's a freedom lover, for at least for the people in her state, which is refreshing, and the freest country on the planet Earth. There was really only one state that allowed pure freedom throughout the entire ordeal. So that's on the plus side of what I just consider it almost political advice. Look, partisans are so easily duped. Look at the people that the Democrats are convinced to let them lead their party. Hillary Clinton. She doesn't care about anybody but herself. You know, people are duped into believing that she is some kind of needed leader on the Democratic side for a while. Conservatives, too. I mean, I've talked about it a lot before, not trying to repeat myself, but your biggest conservative pundits tried to sell you John McCain in 2008, tried to sell you Mitt Romney in 2012, and I would imagine most of you got on board. You didn't want Obama, you didn't want a Democrat to run it, so they somehow got you enthusiastic about John McCain or Mitt Romney before Trump. So I'm going to warn you of those types that are still jockeying for position, and this is the advice against. I'm doing a little bit of promotion for Kristi Noem. Again, I'm not in love. I don't like politicians, so I'm prepared to challenge her on a bunch of different things. But on the plus side, there's Kristi Noem. On the downside, a warning to people is beware the Tom Cotton.
I think the big thing that everybody here is looking for is for Republicans to fight. You've mentioned this a couple times. What are you looking for to hear from President Trump? What are you looking for in future leaders of the party? I don't know if he's going to run again. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. We're going to hear from some potential other candidates if he doesn't run. What are your thoughts on the future of the party and what we're going to hear from President Trump?
Well, I gather he's going to talk a lot about Joe Biden's immigration agenda, which he should, because he was the first Republican president to get immigration right in a very long time. This is one of the issues that President Trump and I first started talking about when he was a candidate in the summer of 2015, immigration and then also the Iran nuclear deal. But he has helped reset the Republican Party's view on this. Now, not entirely. You still have a lot of businesses out there that want cheap migrant labor. They want open borders. They want more guest workers to come in. But that's not what our voters want. So what our voters want going forward, whether it's president in 2024, senator, Congress in 2022, or just down to local office this year.
And so this is Tom Cotton essentially trying to take over the MAGA movement. He's been positioning himself for that for a while. And he believes he should continue with the American First agenda. And he's going to hit on immigration, I'm sure, very hard, because that was very popular with the Trump supporters. He is going to try to take the mantle of the Republican Party. And I've seen a lot of people in comment sections and on conservative media say, yeah, well, maybe we should consider this Tom Cotton guy. I'll read to you a little bit about Tom Cotton. You know, I was really surprised at Donald Trump when he campaigned on getting our troops out of the Middle East. And then he really just went hardcore after Iran. Now we know why. Listen to this. Now, a lot of people out there support Trump's hard line on Iran. I don't understand it. Seemed like it was wildly popular to say, get us out of Middle Eastern conflicts. But then Republicans flipped right around and they were ready for a new conflict when it was Iran. It makes, you know, they're in the Middle East, right? You know, that's still anyway. This was a piece that was written back when Tom Cotton was being considered for the next director of the CIA. Ultimately, Gina Haspel, John Brennan's acolyte, was hired by Trump to run the CIA. How'd that work out for us? But this piece is from that time. You might call Tom Cotton, who is being touted as the next director of the CIA, again, this is an older article, the Trump whisperer. In fact, according to the Weekly Standard, in a recent meeting with his top national security and foreign policy advisors, quote, having failed to receive the decertification option from his own team, Trump called Senator Tom Cotton and put him on speakerphone. The president asked Cotton to make the case for decertifying the Iran deal. Cotton took 5 minutes and walked Trump and his team through the case, emphasizing one point in particular. Recertifying the deal would be declaring that it was in the national security interest of the United States, something Cotton understood that Trump didn't believe. The Weekly Standard reported that Trump, quote, left the phone call convinced that the decision to decertify was the right one. So Tom Cotton is one of the guys who got Trump to create, to foster, to participate in another aggressive Middle Eastern policy. This was even while Trump came out on the stump in 2016 and during his presidency told you he was getting us out of the Middle East. Tom Cotton was the Trump whisperer there telling him, oh, but Iran, we need to continue to go after Iran. Tom Cotton is a neocon warmonger. And there's this quote. The policy of the United States should be regime change in Iran, Cotton declared in June, before explaining how he believed the United States should, quote, support internal domestic dissent in Iran by backing minority ethnic groups, including Arabs, Turkmen, and Baloches, who, quote, aren't enthusiastic about living in a Persian Shia despotism. Tom Cotton was actually, during the Trump administration, advocating for another regime change in a Middle Eastern country. Again, this is Tom Cotton. The policy of the United States should be regime change in Iran. So if Tom Cotton had gotten his way, or if the Trump fans ultimately try to give him the presidency, his intention is to get the U.S. military into another regime change war. It doesn't matter how many thousands of U.S. troops that will cost us, because Iran is not Iraq. Iran is not Libya. Iran is certainly not Yemen, the poorest country in the Middle East. Iran is not Syria. Iran is a little bit closer to the real deal when it comes to dealing with somebody militarily. Could we beat them? Absolutely, we could beat them, but it will not be without casualties. And there certainly would be millions of lives lost in Iraq and Iran should something happen. We've got a lot of 35,000 of our troops are within Iran's striking range. Anyway, this is Tom Cotton. Beware the Tom Cotton, the other one. And as long as I'm talking about candidates that are probably pretty popular with a lot of people listening, making me less popular with people that are listening, Mike Pompeo is another one. He is trying. Mike Pompeo did everything he could to basically subvert Trump's ideas of getting out of the Middle East, which were wildly popular with his followers and would have been really viewed very popularly across the population of the United States, liberal and conservative, would have given him a tremendous amount of credit for actually bringing the troops home, not adjusting troops, not moving 1,000 from here to there, but actually saying, it's over in Afghanistan, we're out, mic drop. Iraq, we're out, mic drop. Syria, we're out, mic drop. And just leave. Mike Pompeo made sure that we stayed embroiled in these things. And Mike Pompeo made sure his political calculation was, if I continue to support Trump, I will inherit his followers. And Mike Pompeo will probably be running at least for the Senate from Kansas, which I would imagine he will probably win and be a voice for more foreign interventions, anti-Russia stuff. And so beware the Tom Cottons and the Mike Pompeos. Caller called in and said Kristi Noem's got a little bit of a mixed record on Middle Eastern stuff, but I know for sure, as of right now, at least I can say she's not Tom Cotton or Mike Pompeo. So beware of those two as you make your choices before what horse you're going to bet on or would like to see going into the White House in 2024. Stay with me. All night, with the king.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul.
All right, final segment for the day here at the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. So I've given my political advice out as an outsider, just looking in. I was looking during the break. Does anybody have any idea exactly what the COVID restrictions in Mississippi are right now? Just thinking about Kristi Noem and actually not bossing her citizens around. So refreshing. I was just curious. Last week, last I saw, Tate Reeves said he would be considering lifting some restrictions. He would have another executive order coming out. But it's funny, when you go online, if you just look at current Mississippi restrictions or executive orders, I found a website that is, I think, governorreeves.gov or something like that. And the last press releases were back in December. There's nothing new there. So do we even know really where we are? Do business owners know what they're required to do? One thing that I found that, I mean, I guess these things, I don't know if this is dated. This is the problem with, you know, just these arbitrary orders. You know, you never really know. Are they still, I mean, where do you find these things out? Or I don't own a business right now that has a physical location. So I don't know if they're sending out daily memorandum. Hey, dummy, here's what you got to do today from Daddy Reeves. But I was looking at some of these things, but the restaurant and bars stuff on here, I don't know if this is still in effect or not. Bars may sell alcohol only to seated customers. That clever COVID. Whizzes right past anybody in a chair, but if you're standing up with a drink, apparently that attracts it. You've made COVID mad. It's coming after you. You're standing up with a cocktail? Oh my gosh. What a daredevil. Bars may sell alcohol only to seated customers. Bar hours are restricted to 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. All restaurants and bars must limit the number of customers to no greater than 75% capacity. So again, the government in Mississippi is still slicing off 25% of a restaurant or bar's potential profitability, their sales. Could it be maybe 80%? Would 80% be really health-threatening? 78%. Could you give the restaurant owners 3% more possibility of surviving this thing? The funny thing is that, you know, everything is always couched in science. 75% is completely arbitrary. There's no science that looked at it and went, well, you know, we didn't have any problems at 74%. Didn't have any problems at 70%. Oh, look at that, 76%. Suddenly we had an outbreak. 75% is just 3/4. That's what they use it. But if they actually dictate this stuff, then a restaurant's leaving a ton of business off the tables if they can't put those extra seats in, because apparently you got to have your butt in a chair to avoid COVID. Thank goodness I'm sitting down here in the studio. I bet it's whizzing all around over the top of my head. I have to crawl out of the studio to avoid that COVID that apparently is. It's just, the arbitrary nature of this stuff is just driving me nuts. And why Tate Reeves has not just released us at this point is just beyond me. Even for the COVID hysterics out there, do you not know enough to protect yourself now? Does everybody else have to do what you want for you to move about society? I mean, is it everybody else's? Is your health everybody else's responsibility at this point? I think that's where we've gotten. Now the theory is that I am responsible for everybody's health around me. Never been that way before. I could have walked through North Park Mall with typhus in 2019. No, I wouldn't have been breaking any laws. It would have been an inconsiderate thing to do, but who knows how many people were doing it. But suddenly now, it's just, I don't know. I mean, Look, as I say, I'm a radical freedom lover. I'm a libertarian guy. I don't have to carry any water for Tate Reeves because he's a Republican, and I don't want to see Jim Hood be our governor, so I've got to prop him up. I don't think a lot of people have got that idea anyway. I think a lot of people have looked at Tate Reeves over the past year and just said, what the hell are you doing? But it is, I just read to you that Tom Cotton was the Trump whisperer in keeping the wars at least going in the Middle East and starting things with Iran. Thomas Dobbs here is the Tate whisperer, apparently, the health authority that tries to get it. And it was so telling to me when the guy in charge of MEMA here in Mississippi, I guess, got COVID. I mean, how careful was that guy? Because he was at every one of the press conferences, you know, where they had the 64-foot-long table and they all sat, you know, one in the middle and two at the ends, so they were separated by about 60 feet each or whatever it was. Looked ridiculous. And they were wearing masks at these things. I mean, this guy was bossing everybody. I mean, you would think he was as careful as he could be, masking up everywhere he went because that was his job, and he was a spokesperson for constantly wearing a mask. Yet he still gets COVID. And we're not supposed to notice that? As I've said many, many times, virus gonna virus. But we don't even know at this point. At least I don't know what is being still levied at these small businesses that are just trying to survive. All employees must be screened for symptoms of COVID-19 daily. All employees must wear a face covering when they're serving the public. These are all restaurant things. All parties or groups must be separated by a minimum of 6 feet, not 5 feet, 8 inches, because that would be a catastrophe. 6 feet. Another arbitrary number here. Well, maybe we can make a better choice going forward. I don't know. The states are easing restrictions across the board. There's a lot of headlines about that, and a bunch of the health authorities have said, oh, don't get too excited. You know, they don't want any good news leaking out. They want to make sure that we're still scared to death, and they'll keep the variant talk up as well. I've got some clips. I don't think I've got time to play them today. How much time have I got? I think I may save these for tomorrow for my health segment. There was a woman that was, I believe, interviewed at CPAC. I got them where she is actually putting something together for, she's really working with a lot of faith leaders. Now, she's working with priests, with rabbis, with imams, with Buddhist leaders, everybody. And they have put together basically a page that you can have notarized, essentially, that says you have a religious exemption to this. You don't want to get vaccinated, so you can present these papers to an employer, to anybody else. Now, my understanding of the vaccine, too, that I don't think I've covered here before, but probably need to get into at some point. I may need to call Mary Jo Perry with Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights, is that an employer, people cannot force you to take a vaccine if it is not actually an FDA-approved vaccine, and this is where semantics kind of get us. The vaccines we're seeing right now have been authorized for emergency use. That is a very different thing than an FDA approval. Now, I'll tell you, with 200,000 people, 250,000 people a year dying of properly prescribed medications, I think the FDA review process is not much more than a rubber stamp for the pharmaceutical companies to put out whatever they want to. But with vaccines, it's always been a 5 to 10 year process to get a vaccine out. And then the FDA at least is given studies and observations of people who have had the vaccine coursing through their veins for years and years and years to see if there were any horrible problems with it. With this one, there have been no such studies of years and years, so it does not qualify to be FDA approved. And again, this is a distinction that is a difference. A lot of times I'll talk about a distinction without a difference. This is a distinction with a difference. Approval, emergency use approval, is not FDA approval. It's not stamped by the FDA as being safe or efficacious. They have just determined that we have an emergency situation, their words, not mine, that we have an emergency situation, and so we need to go ahead and allow this thing out even before proper studies are done. They've done just enough to prove to us that everybody that gets this shot is not going to drop dead in the chair in which they get it. And so they've made that calculation that it's important they get it out without the full FDA review. Bottom line is that employers, schools, you would think travel, but once you start getting into private business entry or things like that, it may be a grayer area, but that schools and employers cannot force you to get a vaccination that is not FDA approved, and these are not FDA approved. It's very different to get an emergency use authorization. It's kind of like what they did with wars. We haven't declared war since World War II. I don't know how many people know that. If you listen to this show, you do. But George Bush was giving a AUMF, an authorization of the use of military force, back in 2001. And it has been used to go into country after country after country and drop bombs all over the place, having nothing to do with Al-Qaeda and the attacks of 9/11, which was the original intent of that law. This is very much like that. It's just this blanket authority to say, go out and get everybody these shots without actually saying, yeah, we've approved these shots, that they've gone through the rigorous studies. So keep that in mind. And probably tomorrow during the course of the show, I'll play this woman. And she's got a website. I think you can go and download this form for those of you that do not want to be among the first 100 million guinea pigs. You may be able to print out this form, and it's kind of one of those things where a little bit of a fake it till you make it situation, where maybe if you just present this piece of paper, it will call off the dogs a little bit. If it looks official, you go ahead and get it notarized, pay the, what, $5 to get it notarized so it looks real official, and then challenge anybody who's trying to force this shot on you. I think it's valuable stuff to at least consider. But if anybody's trying to force you to get it, you might ask, do I have to take something if it's not FDA approved? And then spring that little nugget on them. That's all the time I've got today. Appreciate you being with me. I will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how